Psalm 11, verse 5, Mizmor Yod Aleph, Pasuk Hey. Adonai Tzadik Yivchan. The Lord tests or refines the righteous. The Hebrew word bachan means to investigate or examine, or to distill by means of refinement, that is, to separate other elements. For example, pure gold is never realized in nature apart from an alloy, and it needs to be refined so that the pure gold can be extracted and separated. And this is an analogy of the testing we undergo in our spiritual lives. As it says in Proverbs 17, verse 3, the refining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord tests or refines the heart. So the first part of the verse reads, Adonai Tzadik Yivchan, the Lord tests the righteous. Ve'rasha, but the wicked, ve'ohev hamas, and the one who loves violence or cruelty, sane'ah nafsho, his soul abhors, that is, hates or despises, or does not wish to look upon. Adonai Tzadik Yivchan, ve'rasha ve'ohev hamas, sane'ah nafsho. The Lord tests the righteous, but the wicked and the one who loves violence, his soul abhors. Just a quick comment here. A tested faith, as opposed to an untested one, has lived through various ordeals that authenticate the heart's convictions. Suffering distills the heart. And the challenges we face are opportunities for us to grow. They're actually concealed blessings. How so? Because untested faith is merely cognitive. It's a matter of intellect. It knows nothing of the grit and raw determination of the heart to remain constant, even in the midst of darkness, pain, and confusion. The most important of questions probe the depths. Out of the depths I cry out to you, O Lord. In your struggle to understand, allow faith its space. If your conclusion leads you to obvious error, for example, the idea that God failed you, then back up and get your thinking right about your assumptions. Faith represents a heart that won't let go. Allow me a few more comments about why God allows suffering and testing in our lives. Just as pure gold is separated from debasing alloys, so faith must be distilled from debasing motivations. Purity of heart is to will one thing. The life of faith is education for eternity. The world is like a corridor before the world to come, the sages say. Prepare yourself in the corridor that you may enter into the hall. God tests us along the way, disciplining and correcting us so that we're no longer two-souled, but strong of faith, with singleness of vision and purpose. Rabbi Moshe of Korban used to say, when a person suffers, he shouldn't say that things are bad. Rather, he should say that the situation is bitter. The Almighty does nothing bad. And just as medicine is beneficial, though it might be bitter, so too events are always beneficial, even if they are bitter. The sages have also said that God is sometimes closer to sinners than he is to those who are esteemed as saints. God in heaven holds each person by a string. When you sin, you cut the string, but then God ties it up again, making a knot, and thereby you are brought a little closer to him. Again and again, your sins cut the string, and with each further knot, God keeps drawing you closer and closer to him. That's from Anthony DeMello. A student once asked his Rebbe, do we get punished for our sins in this world? And his answer was concise, only if we're fortunate. And the same can be said of testing. Trials given to us by God are really opportunities. God hides his face from us so that we'll seek him. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. The venture of seeking God creates inward strength that cannot be gained apart from the exercise of faith. Not everyone is blessed with being tested by God, however. Some are overlooked. As Kierkegaard once said, God punishes the ungodly simply by ignoring them. This is why they have success in the world, the most frightful punishment, because in God's view, this world is immersed in evil. But God sends suffering to those whom he loves as assistance to enable them to become happy by loving him. The righteous person, the tzaddik, is always under God's scrutiny, both in order to refine his character and to bring about correction. This scrutiny is a sure sign of God's love, for God disciplines those whom he receives as children, it says in the book of Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 through 11. If we endure chastisement, we are being received as his sons and daughters. So we're tested to confirm our identity as God's children. Again, purity of heart is to will one thing, and divine testing functions as a refining fire that removes the dross of ambivalence from our hearts. For the righteous, the various trials of life ask a divine question addressed to the heart of faith. Namely, do you love me? Or will you trust me now, in this place, with this trouble, in this darkness? As we believe, we're given more revelation, and that in turn further vindicates God's faithfulness and love. Remaining steadfast in faith is the way we express our love to God. Happy is the one who endures testing, because when he has proven to be genuine, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. That's in the book of James, chapter 1, verse 12. The tested genuineness of your faith is precious to God and will bring praise and glory and honor to him when Messiah's righteousness is vindicated upon the earth. That's from 1 Peter 1, verse 7. So remember then that God sends us trials so that we might turn to him for help. As Yitzhak Hunter once wisely said, the main purpose of tefillah, that is prayer, is not to get us out of problems. The purpose of problems is to get us into tefillah. Amen. I'll close with this quote from Frederick Buechner. The worst isn't the last thing about the world. It's the next to last thing. The last thing is the best. It's the power from on high that comes down into the world, that wells up from the rock-bottom worst of the world like a hidden spring. Can you believe it? The last best thing is the laughing deep in the hearts of the saints, sometimes our hearts even. Yes, you are terribly loved and forgiven. Yes, you are healed. All is well.